نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، this is our first meeting in this discussion of loving the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we are using a book titled like this: Loving the Messenger between following and innovation, between true adherence and innovation. Mahabbatur Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam bin Ittiba' wal Ibtida', by an author called Abdul Ra'uf Muhammad Uthman. So inshallah we'll be mostly following this book and the subject. The author is called Abdul Ra'uf Muhammad Uthman. As I said before, that many chapters of this book, actually we have this whole book translated, but many of the chapters have been published in the Huda paper a couple of years ago or 3 years ago, and the hope is that eventually the whole thing will be published as a complete book after we remove the redundancy and things that, you know, do not seem to be, you know, but in general it has a lot of useful information. Sometimes you find repetition, or it goes in a too slow pace, but in general it's a very good book on the subject. It's the best book that I know on the subject. Contemporary book, at least. Okay. So he deals, the way that the book is arranged in general is that first he discusses the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the prophets in general, or the messengers in general, and then the final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he defines all of that, prophets and prophethood and things like that. Then he talks about loving the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then in a number of chapters, various aspects of loving, and after that there will be a section about adherence to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, several chapters also about the meaning of adherence. And then after that he deals with ghulu, excessiveness in dealing with the Prophet or the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he defines excessiveness, and we covered this in the article that I was referring to. We did not go beyond that. After that he talks about excessiveness in various people, excessiveness in the or with the Jews and Christians in regard to their prophets, excessiveness of the Shia in Islam, and the Sufis, excessiveness of the Sufis, and then finally he talks about ibtida, about innovation, what's the meaning of innovations, and how this relates to loving the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or contradicts loving the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is basically what the book is about. So it tells us how we are supposed to deal with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the best and more correct and appropriate manner. As I said, in general it's a slow pace. It covers a lot of ground and brings a lot of evidence, but inshallah we find that it is useful and beneficent. And whenever I find that it is too slow, I will be skipping some parts, with the understanding that whoever wants more detail, he can look up those articles, or I can make them accessible in the form of a booklet or book, inshallah. Okay, so we start by the first discussion is about prophethood, and we will try to cover as much of this, if not all of it, today, inshallah. So what is prophethood in Arabic is called Nubuwa, and the prophet is called Nabi, Nubuwa is prophethood, and the prophet is Nabi or Nabi. Okay, so where does it come from? Nubuwa comes from the word Naba. Naba means news or information. Okay, so Nabi is the person who brings information, and or Nabi. Okay, like Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Nabbi ibadi anni ana al-Ghafur Rahim." Nabbi, he used the same verb from the same source. Nabbi means inform my servants that I am the forgiving, the merciful. And also Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "فَلَمَّا نَبَّأَهَا بِهِ قَالَتْ مَنْ أَنْبَأَكَ هَذَا." When he told her or informed her about it, she asked him, "Who informed you about this?" قَالَ نَبَّأَنِيَ الْعَلِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. He said, "The all-knowing, the all-acquainted has informed me," which is Allah Azza wa Jal. So in the books of language, they tell us that Naba means khabar or information or news, and Nabi is the one who relates news from Allah Azza wa Jal. Others, some of the scholars of language, of the Arabic language, say that it also comes from Nabwa and Nabawa. That Nabi comes from Nabwa and Nabawa, which means rise, a rising place on earth, like a hill or some place which is higher than the level ground. And that means that he is honored over the rest of the human beings. That is, that the prophets are honored over the other human beings. So in that case, they say it doesn't have Hamza in it. It is Nabi and Nabi and not Nabi. So there are two views as to the origin of the word Nabi, of the word Nabi. This opinion is the weaker of the two opinions. This opinion is the weaker. And the more correct opinion is the first one, that it comes from Nubuwa. From Naba, which means information or news. Okay, now how about the message or risala? Message means risala. So prophethood means nubuwa, and prophet means nabi or nabi. Message means risala, and messengers means Rasul. So it derives from the word Risala. So Rasul is derived from or comes from Irsal, from sending someone or directing someone. And it could also come from Ar-Rasal in Arabic, Rasal, which means consecutive. So it could mean that they come after each other, the messengers, so that's why they are called Rusul. Or it could mean those who have been sent by Allah Azza wa Jal as envoys, that is, these are the messengers, which is the stronger of the two opinions in, or meanings in this case. And that is what he says in Lisan al-Arab. Ibn Manzur gives this first meaning the more correct. The scholars differ in regard to the difference between a prophet and a messenger, or Nabi and Rasul. What's the difference between them? Because we know that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is a Nabi and he is a Rasul. He is a prophet and he is a messenger. And this also applies to other some other men that were sent by Allah Azza wa Jal, but others are described as being only a prophet, a Nabi, or a messenger or a Rasul. So what's the difference between Nabi and Rasul? The different opinions of the scholars, if you get study them, you find that none of the opinions but can be criticized one way or the other. So there is no opinion in this regard, in this matter, controversial matter, that seems to be completely convincing as to what is That's exactly the difference between a Nabi and a Rasul. But what is most likely, according to many scholars, is that there is a difference between Nabi and Rasul, between the meaning of Nabi and Rasul. These two words, they are different and they have difference in meaning. But of course they differ in defining exactly what is the difference. What he selects here, and this is one of the controversial opinions, that you'll find somebody who can criticize it and show that it can be shown to be wrong or weak in some aspects. But anyways, what he selects is that the Nabi is the one that Allah Azza wa Jal gave him a message that is within a legislation or a Sharia that is existing, okay, within an existing Sharia, within existing laws. That he doesn't come with a new law, a new message, totally new. He comes to call his people, to bring them back to a message that is already in existence from previous prophets and messengers before him. And he may be commanded to deliver some matters in specific issues, in regard to specific issues, or some commands in regard to specific issues. Or he may be told to give the people some kind of advices and reproaches and teachings, but it would not be a new Sharia or a new law. This is like the many prophets of Bani Israel who came after Musa. There were many, many of them in every generation, and none of them was is considered as a Rasul, but they were considered as Anbiya or Nabiyun, which means prophets. None of them came with a new law that would abrogate the Torah. Okay, none of these prophets came with a new law. Even for Isa alayhi salam, actually, he didn't come exactly with a new law. He said, "I am confirming the Torah and adding to it." So he added. He did add. He did, supplement the Torah with additional legislations. So a prophet, in his understanding, in the opinion that he selects, is one who renovates and supports the message of a previous messenger. And as for the Rasul, he is someone whom Allah sent with a law, and he commanded him to deliver it to the rest of the people, regardless of whether this law is new in itself or in regard to the people to whom he is sent. Or he may come with something that would abrogate some of the legislations from the law that preceded him, like we said about Isa alayhi salam. So this is the opinion that he selects, and this, Allahu A'lam, is one of the stronger opinions in this regard, as I said, in this controversial matter. Some of the weaker opinions say, for example, that a prophet was commanded to deliver the message, a messenger was given a message and was ordered to deliver it, and a prophet was given a message but was not ordered to deliver it. And this is a weak opinion, wallahu alam, because everyone is supposed to deliver what he knows. Everyone, whether it's a prophet or a messenger or a normal human being who has been given some message, some knowledge, he is required to deliver it to other people. And as Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, that this was the obligation on Bani Israel, لَتُبَيِّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَ. Their covenant with Allah was that they would deliver the message, clarify it to people, and not hide it at all. So that was their obligation, not only for their prophets, for everyone among them. So this shows that this opinion cannot be correct, that a prophet is not required to deliver the message. The message has to be delivered. If they know something that the people, something good from Allah that the other people do not know, then they are required to deliver this good to the other people. Okay, now the second discussion within this topic of prophethood and message is about the human nature of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now that you have defined the message and the prophethood. Okay, for the Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he is a messenger and a prophet. So he came with a new law, and he gives information, news to the other people. So both definitions apply to him. So Allah's wisdom, Allah with his vast wisdom, has decreed to send messengers to deliver the message to people from their own kind. So the messengers come from the same kind of those whom they are sent, of the people, that is. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيْنَ لَهُمْ. We have not sent a messenger except with the tongue of his people, so that he would be able to make things clear for them. And he says, قَالَتْ لَهُمْ رُسُولُهُمْ إِنْ نَحْنُ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَمُنُّ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. Which means their messengers told the people who were refusing to obey them, they told them, we are human beings like you are, but Allah blesses and favors whomever he wills of his servants, which means Allah favored us over you. So it doesn't mean that we are not a human, we are human like yourselves. And Allah Azza wa Jal emphasizes the human nature of the messengers by saying, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَّا إِنَّهُمْ لَيَأْكُلُونَ الطَّعَامَ وَيَمْشُونَ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. We have not sent before you any of the messengers but that they eat food and walk in the marketplaces. Which means, eat food means the food enters their bodies and then it takes a cycle. So they have not been made above the cycle of the food, the complete cycle, which, you know, the angels, for example, are not required to have, and so on. And يَمْشُونَ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ means they mingle with other people. It's not walk in the marketplaces, so it's not like they are like pure above the other people. They do not mix with them, they do not deal with them. No, they have to deal with other people. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not different from other messengers, was not new in that regard, as Allah Azza wa Jal says, قُلْ مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِنَ الرُّسُلِ وَمَا أَدْرِي مَا يُفْعَلُ بِي وَلَا بِكُمْ. Which means, say, I was not made different from the other messengers. Bid'an, like bid'an, which means something different, something new, something innovative. So I was not made different from the other messengers. And I do not know what will be done to me or to you. I only follow that which is being revealed to me, and I am only a وَمَا أَنَا إِلَّا نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ, and I am only a clear warner to you. And also Allah Azza wa Jalla told him to say, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Say, I am only a human being like you are. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيْ, but revelation comes to me. There are many other ayat that emphasize this aspect of the humanity of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that he cannot benefit himself, he is not divine in nature, he cannot benefit himself, he only is subject to what Allah Azza wa Jal wills for him. Like he's saying, قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي نَفْعًا وَلَا ضَرًّا. Say, I cannot offer to myself neither benefit nor harm, إلا ما شاء الله, except as Allah wills. وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ لَاسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. And had I known the ghaib, the things beyond our conception and perception, I would have compiled a lot of good. وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ السُّوءُ and no harm would have touched me. إِنْ أَنَا إِلَّا نَذِيرٌ وَبَشِيرٌ لِقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ but I am only a messenger, a warner, and a bringer of good news for people who believe. So all of that is within the hand of Allah Azza wa Jal. The knowing the ghaib, bringing benefit and harm is in the hand of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And Allah tells him, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٌ أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَوْ يَعَذِبُهُمْ which means there is nothing in the matter belongs to you. He either would punish them or forgive them. So it is in the hand of Allah whether He would punish those people, the rebellious people, or guide them so that He would accept their repentance. And when the people of Quraysh asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give them a miracle or miracles, Allah Azza wa Jal told him to say that I am only a human messenger. They asked him, قَالُوا لَنُؤْمِنْ لَكَ حَتَّى تَفْجُرَ لَنَا مِنْ الْأَرْضِ يَنْبُوعًا they said, we will not believe to you, which means we will not believe in you until you bring out for us a source of water or a brink of water from the ground, or that you would have a garden from palm and grape and bring the or make the rivers flow through it in great amount, that is lots of rivers flow through it, or bring down the skies over us as you claim that you can do, or bring the Allah and the angels together to us, or that you would have a house of gold, or that you would rise in the sky, walk up into the skies, fly into the skies. And we will not believe in your going into the skies, in your rising in the skies, until you bring back to us a book that we can read, or a letter, or a proof that you have gotten there and came back. So they wish all sorts of things from him. So he says, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells him, قُلْ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّي say, exalted be my Lord. هَلْ كُنْتُ إِلَّا بَشَرًا رَسُولًا am I anything but a human messenger? So the human nature of the Prophet ﷺ is very emphasized everywhere in the book. The life and seerah, the biography of Rasulullah ﷺ expresses this, his human nature, in a perfect way. He lived a normal human life upon to which are applicable the normal things that apply to a human life, like sickness, like life and death and birth, eating, drinking, walking in the market, buying, selling, marrying, getting children, fighting, being at peace with some people, angry, pleased, happy, upset, and so on. And he died like a human being. So all his life was conducted as a normal human being. And as he said about himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what's your problem? He said, "Innama ana basharun mithlukum, azkuru kama tadhkurun wa ansa kama tansun." He said, "I am only a human being like yourselves. I remember like you remember, and I forget like you forget." This is in Sahih Muslim. And there are other ahadith in which he told them that he is a human being, so they, like when they come and try to make him a judge or ask him to arbitrate among them in certain matters of difference, he told them that I may give somebody, I am a human being, and some of you may be more eloquent in presenting the case than others, so I may give somebody something that is the right of his brother, so if you take it knowingly, then know that you are taking a piece of the fire, which means even if the judge made a mistake, doesn't mean that doesn't give you the right to take from what belongs to your brother. He is a human being, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is a human being, but Allah Azza wa Jalla has prepared him in a special way that is adequate to his position of prophethood, and for which Allah has selected him. So he is the most perfect of the human beings in manner, in character, and in appearance. So he was the most complete human being in regard to the human aspects of his life, just as he was the most complete and perfect in his servitude to his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in his submission to him. Okay, can go read some Quran. Go read some Quran. So the perfection and of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam appears and is demonstrated in his ubudiyyah, in his submission, complete submission, so, to his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla described him by that description of ubudiyyah, of servitude, when he was describing him in a situations of praise, like saying, Subhanalladhi asra bi 'abdi. Exalted is he who made Isra, took his abd, his servant, on the night trip from Masjid al-Haram, from Mecca, to Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. So it was a place where Allah Azza wa Jalla is praising his abd, because he is so he selected him from all people for this kind of trip. And in that place, a position or situation of praise, he described him by servitude, by ubudiyyah, by saying, "Abdi, Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi." And he says, "Fa'awha ila abdihi ma awha," in Surah Al-Najm, which means he, after Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم went up to the heavens, Allah Azza wa Jal, revealed to his servant what he has revealed. So the revelation that was revealed to him. So it was also again a place or a situation of praise that he is telling us about, and in that he described him as his abd, his servant. Similarly, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَى عَبْدِهِ الْكِتَابِ, praise be to Allah who sent down upon his abd the book. وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ يَدْعُوهُ, and that when Allah's abd stood up to call to him, كَادُوا يَكُنُونَ عَلَيْهِ لِبَدَى, they gathered over him like layers over layers. So the ubudiyyah or servitude to Allah is one of the highest, it is actually the highest position of human perfection. The complete servitude to Allah Azza wa Jal is, and submission to Allah, the complete submission to Allah is the complete, the most perfect, or the perfection of the human being. Why is that? Because Allah created the human beings to worship him, and the one who fulfills this mission in the best way is the one who is most complete, most perfect of the human beings, the one who has fulfilled his mission in the best possible way. And this does not apply better to anyone better than the prophets and messengers. And the most complete and perfect of those prophets and messengers is the final one of them, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was pleased, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was pleased with his position, and he emphasized it in the minds of his companions and his ummah, like saying, لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى عيسى بن مريم, do not praise me too much over my level, like the Christians have over praised Jesus the son of Mary. I am إنما أنا عبد, I am only the servant of Allah عز وجل. So say فقولوا عبد الله ورسوله, so say Allah's عبد and his messenger. So he is emphasizing that he is the abd of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that we should not raise him above that level, because it's not good. It doesn't benefit him to say, to give him any divine qualities when it's not true. And the best description for him is to say that he is the abd of Allah Azza wa Jal. And because of this, because of his fulfilling this great quality, Allah Azza wa Jal selected him to be the best of his creatures, and gave him that which he did not give to any other human being in this life and in the next life. Discussion, and last discussion actually in this regard, in regard to the prophethood and message, is the discussion is titled here as that prophethood is a divine selection, which means a selection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he selects, he himself selects whom, who deserves to carry his message. So as Allah Azza wa Jal says, Allahu yastafi min al-mala'ikati rusula wa min al-nas. Allah selects or chooses messengers from among the angels and from the people. So it's not anyone who can go and be, say, I am a messenger and deserve that position, but it's something, it's a choice that is made by Allah himself subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, he says also subhanahu wa ta'ala, إن الله اصطفى آدم ونوحا وآل إبراهيم وآل عمران على العالمين. Verily Allah has selected or has chosen Adam and Nuh and the family of Ibrahim and the family of Imran over all of the peoples على العالمين. And he said, قال يا موسى إني اصطفيتك على الناس برسالاتي وبكلامي. He said, O Musa, I have chosen you over other people with my message and with my speech, with my words that he spoke to him directly. So this selection or choice is a favor from Allah Azza wa Jal that he bestows on the messengers and prophets. So they do not reach that level by their own working for it and their competing until they get that stage. It's something that Allah bestows on them, contrary to what some of the philosophers and other people would say. And they claim that prophethood is something that you can acquire, something that one can acquire by going through certain, exercises of improving himself until he reaches the level of prophethood. This is not true. It is something that Allah Azza wa Jal bestows, a favor that Allah bestows on those people that he chose, and he, in his knowledge, they are the people who are worthy and deserving of such a trust. So prophethood and message are a pure favor from Allah Azza wa Jal, with which he bestows on whomever he wills of his servants. And he subhanah knows where to put this favor, who deserves it better than others. As he said, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ, which means your Lord creates whatever he wills and selects. They have no selection, they have no choice. So the choice is all with the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, وَإِذَا جَاءَتْهُمْ آيَةٌ قَالُوا لَنْ نُؤْمِنَ حَتَّى نُؤْتِيَ مِثْلَ مَا أُتِيَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. When an ayah comes to them, they say, we will not believe until we are given like the messengers of Allah are given, which means we need to be messengers to believe. We do not accept something lesser. So Allah responds to them by saying, Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalata. Allah knows best where to put his message, where to send his message. Now, from our study of Ulum al-Quran, do you think that this last ayah is Makki or Madani ayah? Mm-hmm. Madani? Makki? Why do you say Madani? Why do you say Makki?
I say Makki because it sounds like a statement that he would have made towards the Quraysh.
Can you say the verse one more time?
Which it means, if you come to them with an ayah, they say, we will not believe until we are given like the messengers of Allah are given. Allah knows where he puts his message or where he sends his message. He said Madani, why?
Yes, because it's like more explanatory. Trying to explain what the problem is rather than dealing with Tawheed first.
Okay. What do you say?
Because he seems like he's talking, like he said, to disbelievers and not to believers, which normally the verses are regarding. However, it seems like when he said, unless, what did you say before? Can you say it one more time?
When an ayah comes to them, they say, we will not believe until we are given message like the messengers of God has been given.
I think it's Mecca, but if it was Medina, I would say because they recognize the messengers. And then people, but the Jews, because they said, like the messengers would give them. I think the Jews recognize the messengers more than the Quraysh.
Yeah. Okay, well, the people of Quraysh knew that they were messengers, and they were acquainted with them from Ibrahim and Ismail, the previous messengers and others, but they were not listening to the messengers. Well, actually, this is Mecca, and if you remember, one of the qualities of the Mecca or the characteristics of the Mecca ayat is that Allah Azza wa Jal, first they emphasize the aspect of aqidah. And here is a matter of aqidah. Prophethood is a matter of aqidah. Allah is establishing the belief in the prophethood. What it is, the prophethood. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla responds with hujjah, with evidence, with argument. He argues with them and in a strong way. Allahu alam hakajari says. So they say we want to be messengers. He says Allah knows who deserves to be a messenger. So he gives them the response to their claims in a clear and strong way. And it is Makki, because it is also from Surah Al-An'am that we know that it is mostly a Makki surah. Okay, so the prophethood, back to our subject, is a favor that Allah sends on whomever He wills and whomever He knows that they deserve this favor. The prophets that Allah and the messengers that Allah sends are the most complete or perfect among the human beings in character and in manners, and the most mature in their minds, the most intelligent, the most pure at heart, and so on. This is true about all of the messengers, even though among themselves they vary in the fulfillment of these qualities. As for the final messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all of this applies to him, and more specifically we see how Allah Azza wa Jalla has selected him and chosen him from all of the human beings. In terms of his descendants, his lineage, his line of descendants from Ismail, from Ibrahim and Ismail down to his father and mother, was all a clean, pure descendants. It was not marred by any of the prostitution or adultery or fornication of Jahiliyyah. So he came from pure parents to pure parents all the way down to him. None of his parents were known to have any of the blameworthy qualities, social qualities that could be applicable to others in Jahiliyyah. They were always, all of them were like the best and leaders, most noble in their people in terms of lineage, in terms of honor and position. In the hadith in Sahih Muslim from Wathil ibn al-Asqa, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى كِنَانَةَ مِنْ وَلَدِ إِسْمَعِيلِ, which means Allah has indeed selected and chosen Kinana from the descendants of Ismail. Kinana is like a branch, a tribe from the descendants of Ismail. وَاصْطَفَى قُرَيْشًا مِنْ كِنَانَةَ, and he chose Quraysh, the tribe of Quraysh, from that larger tribe of Kinana. وَاصْطَفَى مُنْ قُرَيْشِ بَنِي هَاشِمْ, and he chose from Quraysh, and this choice means the better, the best. So he took the best from from Quraysh, who are Banu Hashim, his family. Quraysh is like a big, high, very high grandfather, great grandfather. And then Hashim was, if you follow the tree, family tree of the Prophet Quraysh goes very far up in his family tree, and after that comes Hashim, a few grandfathers up, I don't know how many, 5, 6, 7 up. And then from Hashim, Stafani min Bani Hashim, he selected him from the children of Hashim. So he was the best, from the best, from the best, up to Ismail alayhi salam. This is in terms of his lineage. Then in terms of his person, purifying his person and protecting his person, Allah Azza wa Jalla protected him from the dirt and filth of Jahiliyyah, and from his childhood. So he protected his heart from allowing, from the shaitan entering into it or reaching it, as is recorded in Sahih Muslim from Anas, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was playing with the other children, with the other boys, when Jibreel came to him and took him aside and laid him down on the ground and cut open his chest, took out his heart, and took out of it a clot of blood. And he said, this is the shaitan's part or portion or part in you. Then he washed his heart, so he took away that part, got rid of it, and he washed his heart in a container made of gold and with the water of Zamzam, and then he put his heart back in his chest, closed his chest. And this is authentic, this is an authentic hadith about how Jibreel once cleaned the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This happened actually twice according to authentic ahadith, that Jibreel washed the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is one time, and the other time was just before the Isra, before he went on the night journey. And how could that happen? I mean, if you look at the chests, when people looked at the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nobody saw the marks of stitches or anything like that. So how did he do it? And how did he, was Jibreel that expert in making operations on the heart so that he did not die sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or something like that? I mean, this is something made by Allah Azza wa Jalla in the most perfect way. Allah, the creator of the human beings, is the one who made that thing for his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah protected him and preserved him in the best possible way, to the extent that he protected his heart from any of the evils of Jahiliyyah or the influence of shaitan. So this shows that Allah purified his heart from his youth and protected it from the attacks of shaitan, so that it would be prepared for the great mission of prophethood and message. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam grew upon the best and most noble characters and the pure, clean nature, fitrah. So he hated the idols and never bowed down to any idol, and he loved goodness and good character, and he was the example among the people by in that regard. So they would give him as an example, look at how he is the most truthful, how is the most trustworthy, and so on. And as Allah Azza wa Jal has protected his heart, he protected him, in other words, materially or physically, I mean, he protected him from that his enemies would reach him and kill him and protect him and prevent him from delivering his Lord's message. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ, which means the disbelievers make plots or made plots so that they would imprison you or kill you or drive you away. And they plot, they make their plots. Allah makes his plots, and Allah is the one who is best in making plots. And he told him, وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ, and Allah protects you, shelters you from the people, so that nobody can reach you with any harm. Al-Bukhari recorded from Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma that he went in a fighting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam towards Najd. And then when they came back, Jabir was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the trip back. And at the time of the hottest time of the day, when the sun was high and very hot, they stopped in a valley which has lots of thorn trees and shrubs and so on. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped there and dismounted, and the people spread about in the shades of the trees. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also sat under a tree, and he hung his sword into it, and then they fell asleep, the Sahaba, all of them, they were tired, so they fell asleep. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they heard him calling them, so they woke up and went to him, and they found that he had in front of him a Bedouin, and he pointed to him and he said, "This man took my sword when I was sleeping, and I woke up and saw the sword in his hand. He was pointing it to me. He was about to kill him in his sleep." So he told him, okay, so he showed that man, he had the sword in his hand, and he said he was about to kill him. And when the Prophet ﷺ woke up, he said, "What can protect you from me?" And Rasulullah ﷺ told him, "Allah." And he asked him again, and he said the same answer three times, and then the sword fell off his hand, and then the Prophet ﷺ did not punish him. Probably, we don't know the details of the rest of this story, whether the man embraced Islam after that because of this or not. He was protected by Allah from any harm that would prevent him from delivering the message. He also was protected from anything that would mar his prophethood, the position of prophethood, or that would repel the people from his message. So he was the furthest among people of committing any sins and or anything that would be considered lowly or unsuitable, and he was above the indecencies of Jahiliyyah, as also Allah Azza wa Jalla has protected him from falling into mistakes and forgetting and kadhib and lying and hiding in regard to the message. In regard to the message, so whatever, any part of the message, Allah Azza wa Jalla safeguarded it so that none of it would be affected by any of these things. So Allah Azza wa Jalla made it so that he would not make a mistake or forget or lie or hide anything in regard to his message. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هُوَ مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى, by the star as it falls down, or it's in the evening when in the late at night when the stars set, by the star when it sets, your companion, which means Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma dalla, he is not misguided, or he did not stray, wa ma ghawa, nor is he following his desire, wa ma yantiqu al hawa, and he is not talking out of his own whim. إِنْهُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى, it's only a revelation revealed to him. And he said, يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ بَلِّغْ مَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَأَنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ, which means, all messenger, deliver that which has been revealed to you from your Lord, and if you do not do it, then you have not delivered his message. So Allah Azza wa Jal has described him as being complete in delivering the message, and that none of that had any effect of desires or whims or misguidance in it. So Allah Azza wa Jal purified his lineage, he protected him, purified his heart from his youth, from the influence of shaitan, he protected him from the harm of his enemies, or from anything that could affect his deliverance of the message. And a few more things, that he gave him the most complete of character and human form as well, and this is number four. Number five, he honored him by sending down the revelation to him, and he made him the final of the messengers, of the prophets, the final of the prophets. As for that he completed his character and his appearance, he was the most complete of the human beings in the appearance, the most handsome and awesome human being in the balance of his parts, the body parts, in the nice smell of that emanated from him. He was always the most pure and good in his smell, as he was described by Abu Bakr even after his death, when he said, بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ تُبْتَ حَيَّ وَمَيِّتَ, may my mother and father be a ransom for you, Allah's messenger, you are good in smell, dead and alive, or living and dead. His cleanliness, his power of the body, and his mental power, that's all was the best of the people. He was also the most complete in character and in qualities and traits, as Allah Azza wa Jalla described him, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, and you are indeed of great character. As for that Allah Azza wa Jalla has honored him by sending down the revelation to him, he says, وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم, which means, and thus we have sent to you a revelation, a ruh, a spirit from our command. You did not before that know what is a book, nor what is iman, but we have made it a light with which we guide whomever we will of our servants, and indeed you guide to a straight path. indeed you guide to a straight path. So Allah Azzawajal blessed him with this revelation, with the book and the iman that he did not possess before. It was not born with him. Allah Azzawajal bestowed this favor on him. And finally, that he is the last of the prophets, as Allah Azzawajal describes him by saying, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَى أَحْدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ, which means Muhammad was not to be the father of any of your men, but he is Allah's messenger and the final of the prophets. And in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, from Abu Hurairah, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my example and the example of the prophets before me is like that of a man who built a building, and he made it beautiful and good, except for a place of a brick. It had a brick missing in that building, in one of its corners. So the people started going around this building and saying, and being amazed at its beauty and its great appearance, except they say, "Hello, وضعت هذه اللبنة." We wish that there was a brick in this place. There's a brick missing. He says, "فَأَنَا اللَّبِنَا وَأَنَا خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ." So I am that missing brick, and I am the conclusion of the prophets, or the conclusive prophet, the final prophet. This means that Allah Azza wa Jalla built this wall of prophets, and it was missing. The wall was not complete until this final brick was put in its place. The examples of how Allah Azza wa Jalla has selected and chosen His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over other prophets are many and numerous. They cannot be encompassed because of the great qualities that Allah Azza wa Jalla favored him with. And in our other halqa on Fridays, we usually go over the shama'il, the qualities and characters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And every time we discover some new things in his character, in the miracle that Allah gave him, and so on. And enough honor for him is that he is the master of the human beings from the beginning to end. He is the one whom Allah gave him al-maqam al-mahmud, the praiseworthy position in Jannah, and al-hawd al-mawrud, and the pool that everyone will be thirsty until they drink from it on the day of judgment. So that Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah's selection of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a proof of Allah's love for him. And this tells us that we should as well love and have offered great love to this great prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this covers the first part of this book, which, as I said, deals with prophethood and message, definitions of prophethood and message, and the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is like a foundation for what we will go over in the next few chapters. A long part will be about, in this book it's about 100 pages about loving the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. So inshallah we will be dealing with this in good depth. And for those of you who have access to the book Al-Ubudiyya by Ibn Taymiyyah, there was it was printed in English as one part only. The second part was never published. It's only about half of the full book. If any of you have it, this, what we'll be discussing, is basically the same material but in more diluted way, in easier manner. That one is much more concentrated and heavy. So, but anyways, if you have that book, Al-Ubudiyya by Ibn Taymiyyah, go over it, read it inshallah, and then when we read the stuff, you'll find that you can understand it better. So inshallah we stop here. It's time for Isha, and inshallah next time I'll have chance to ask questions, and you'll have a chance also to ask questions if you have questions in regard to this. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.